they say we in our double double ER. We are much more. Still, we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges. They say we in our double double ER. We are much more. But still, we choose to ignore the obvious. We are the slave and the master. What you looking for? You the question and the answer. We trust no black leaders. Use the stove to heat us. Powdered eggs and government cheeses. The calendars with Martin, JFK, and Jesus. Gotta be fresh to go to school with fly sneakers. Schools with outdated books. We are the forgotten. Summer's cooling off by the fire hydrant. Yeah, I'm from the ghetto, with old black women talking about their sugar level. It's not unusual to see photos of dead homies' funerals. Aluminum foil on TV antennas. Little TV sit on top the big TV eating TV dinners. Girls dyed their hair with Kool-Aid. They gave us lemons, we made lemonade. But this against pain, ancestry of slaves. Descendant of kings is necessary, yeah. Bling. Put rims on everything, wear Tims on every scene. They say we in our double double ER. We are much more. Still, we choose to ignore the obvious. Man, this history don't acknowledge us. We were scholars long before colleges.
Welcome to Tone and Tenor, a show that explores current issues of the day and listens to bipartisan voices of the people. We want to hear from you with your phone calls and on social media. Now, here are the hosts of Tone and Tenor.
Hey, welcome to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voice of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, ask questions, join in the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Our topic today is the continuous series of for Black History Month, but we always start off with the COVID-19 pandemic information. So our topic is community challenges pre-COVID, during COVID, after COVID. This is the third part. And in the next segment will be Black History Month, presenting history of inventors and scientists. Now, we're going to just deep dive into that because we're going to not just talk about folks that everyone talks about day in and day out throughout the year, and especially through this month. And we'll be you'll be surprised at a number of things that have been stolen by from black folks that they actually invented and or did the research on. So, Pat, we're ready for COVID. Are you ready to talk about the COVID? Bring up the update. What are we going? How are we going to handle this?
I'm about to tell you, I'm just so, yeah. The governor and, I don't even know the governor. Greg Abbott. Yeah, Greg Abbott and Ted Cruz, better known as Rafael Edward Cruz. Y'all about to get this work. So, yeah, I'm jumping right into it. So this guy said that, and it's crazy because he's disabled. So it's like you would think somebody who's like permanently disabled would have more like empathy for people, right?
Especially during the pandemic, yep.
I mean, even outside the pandemic. Like, listen, y'all, like Texas hasn't had anything like this since the 1800s or something like that, right? And then in 2011, there was the fires. And in 2017, there was the flood. I mean, I ain't into the bio, but I'm just saying, I might want to pay attention to that. But anyway, and then now we have snow. And wasn't there a tweet in 2016? I think I texted to you. I don't have my phone on me.
You talking about the tweet that he would be...
In 2016, it was climate change exists
when Texas freezes
hell
over.
Hell or Texas freezes over. This is what he said.
And this is what Senator Cruz actually, the actual text, and he said it. But evidently, Texas wasn't... frozen over enough because he
made the Cancun.
He got out of Dodge and went to check on the wall.
Oh,
you know,
well played, sir. Well played, touche.
You know, and you know, unfortunately, you know, you got to remember, folks. During this time, we're talking about snow, ice. We're talking about people without water. We're talking about people without electricity,
heat,
the essentials, the basic essentials, on top of not being able to, some of these mega churches won't open the churches. You can't have the normal type of.
Where's Joel Osteen? Where is he?
You can't have the normal American Red Cross interventions in these buildings because of COVID-19 and the restrictions and the six-foot distancing. So, and when you think about it, it's not just Texas.
Where's Creflo?
Klepto?
Klepto
Dollar.
Klepto Dollar?
Right.
Well, didn't they just get him, didn't he just ask for a plane?
Well.
He got a plane. He can't fly people out of there? No? Not temporarily?
Well, they can take a handful at a time.
They got a tie first, though, right?
It's starting to sound like Rush Limbaugh.
Man, listen. May the universe rest his soul.
Yes.
I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but he
But
he had some. He said he had some challenges.
But he woke up a little later in life, though. But he woke up. He made people think to some extent, whether you liked him or you didn't like him. You know, at the end of the day, we still have to talk about people that are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coronavirus is wreaking havoc. The weather is wreaking havoc. And folks, if you're not of the religious nature, you need to. And you don't have to be, but something's going on here.
Yeah, but even prior to the coronavirus, Texas had their own grid. I'm not trying to hear that.
Texas had a grid. the only state in the country whose grid is owned by a nonprofit. And if you watch all of the tapes in that, I will call it the control room, we have more people in our control room right now
than it, working
than
in
it
Texas.
Was in the control room at the grid room in Texas. There was one lady and five computers in front of her. Five computers.
Yeah, I better remember to say the ballot. I'm telling you. I'm telling you now.
People have short memory, and when it comes to voting.
They better not. 50 people are dead. They better not have a short memory.
But people will have. But wait a minute. Let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
When folks start talking about death, they start comparing everything else. So they'll say it was only a few people. But these are things that could have been avoided or possibly if, I think they said the last time around, they were supposed to put mechanisms in place just in case something like this happened again. I forgot which year it was.
Well, listen, they've been off the grid, quote unquote, since 1940, the 1940s. So in all that time, it never occurred to them, maybe we should have power reserves, or maybe someday
alternative power.
I mean, they're trying to blame it on wind. First of all, I don't think wind. What do they have, like a field of what's the thing called?
Windmills.
Windmills, but guess what? The windmills don't have icers on them. They don't have de-icers.
Well,
the option was given to them when they purchased them, though.
Think about it. How many folks would have thought that 3 inches of snow would wreck such... To us, 3 inches of snow is nothing. But I remember when I was in school, when a half inch of snow closed Atlanta. I was in Florida.
Listen. We didn't think we was going to have a rugged winter, right? Because we've had 5 mile winters, right?
But you're still supposed to be again.
But I still bought hand warmers, and I still bought electric long johns because I don't like being cold.
That's because you took a proactive approach. Something that government doesn't do. Government takes the reactive approach, and then everybody wants to ride in on their high horses, and then they what I've done. No, you can't be a senator of Pennsylvania all because you were on the DNC platform.
I don't care about that.
No, you can't do that.
It's not relevant because he's not going to win. I already said it.
I'm just saying.
Mark my words. Fetterman is going to win. So all y'all need to fall back and support him because he's going to win. Like that's just what. Have you seen that his two commercials? Like, I mean, they really speak
that's
to
Lieutenant
him,
Governor,
him
Governor
doing the work.
That's the key word, regardless of whether we're talking about people.
And he's known statewide as well.
It's called doing the work.
Sure.
You know, folks, you know, we can all sit here. We could talk about folks doing this, folks doing this, this person named to this task force or that task force. But go and check their records. What have they done? How have they evolved in such a short period of time?
You know, support,
and what is the ulterior motive to these things? It's called politics, not politics.
Oh, again, that's not to me. That's not relevant right now. People are dying. I don't care
so
about
people. So let's get to the coronavirus numbers and you know, shout out to. And we'll talk about her in the Black History segment, but shout out to the black doctors here in Philadelphia that are going 24 hours to try to get folks that they need to get the virus, the vaccine, but can't get no money. Vaccine shot, but she could not. She could not. It wasn't until she got on the radar because of 6ABC Action News that embarrassed Philadelphia City Council, but yet and still,
that's not on them, because guess what? The state there were politicians in the state that knew about it first, and they know she put up the $50,000, and they didn't do anything but try to take credit. Remember that call we were on?
Yeah, but
when they tried to take credit.
But wait a minute. Philadelphia, remember, is also Philadelphia County, so they're not off the hook.
Well, listen,
they're governed when they're a county. They're governed by the same council people. And the mayor, it's the same folks that at the end of this so-called investigation,
I'm with you.
Will tell me how a 22-year-old, no medical degree, no anything, was given priority over a group of doctors that were trying to make a difference. So let's not go there.
But the bottom line is, like I said, there were literally politicians trying to take credit for their work, and I'm calling that out because they didn't do anything.
They didn't do anything. They did.
You know,
not
I know because I spoke to one
anything.
Of them. You know what I'm saying? But that's besides the point. So
but
the numbers.
Yet and still, you know, they want to do the Stephen Fletcher dance, the Texas two step, you know, the Cupid slide, because now, especially the ones that look like her. That did nothing. 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 All capital.
Okay, all caps. All right. So the numbers as per Randall's, as per Randall's request. So this is via the New York Times and Google. Worldwide cases over 110 million. Recovered 62.2 million. Deaths 2.4 million. United States. 27.9 million, no recovery numbers. I don't know why. I wonder why. Deaths, 493,000. Pennsylvania, there's been 911,000 cases. I don't know. I had the recovery numbers the week before. But deaths, 23,452. Philadelphia County, 116,000 total cases and 3,065 deaths. And that's what's happening right now.
Wow, those are real interesting and numbers. And again, you know, the only way to even get a handle on this, I mean, there are those that's not going to get. And that's their prerogative, is not going to get the vaccine. You know, that's their prerogative.
Well, I mean, listen.
You know, and some folks, you know, you're going to talk about inventors and scientists at the next half. So, you know, we're talking about the science.
Yeah, but right now, everything is bigger in Texas.
Right.
Especially lies. Straight up, like, listen, this is a bipartisan show. Trust me, I hate everybody. Nobody's safe. Like, is a straight
hate
up
is a very strong word, my brother.
Even with, you're right, but it's I hate when people like it's, but it was like blatant. Like this dude really caught on public television and just straight up lied. Like, and then that the mayor, I'm not giving his name any credence. the mayor of Colorado, Texas, who resigned, talking about some, you're not supposed to be able to rely on your government. Well, what's the point of paying taxes? So let's not pay taxes and let's see what happens. Let's see if your salary gets paid. Let's see if the lights in City Hall stay on.
Well, it doesn't matter because they're going to get their salaries anyway.
Oh, no, he resigned because they, yeah.
He resigned.
Yeah, that wasn't going to work out for him. Right. And his
was
wife
that was a mayor, wasn't it?
Mayor of Colorado, Texas. So
right.
His wife had the temerity to try to defend him and got eaten up, too.
And this was, you were asking about what Ted Cruz wrote, and it was at 5:54 p.m. September 8th, 2016. I believe in climate change when Texas freezes over, quote, unquote.
Well,
Mr. Cruz.
Well, Ted.
Are you going to believe in climate change now? I mean, you know, you and I have talked about this.
But again, in the last 10 years, the last 10 years, there's been a fire, there's been a flood, and now there's a freeze over.
But
sounds like climate change to me.
Think about this. You know, we talked about this earlier during the week and several times. You know, when former Vice President Al Gore, and then when he ran for president, and then he subsequently lost. Subsequently lost, and then he started focusing on climate change and climate issues. But Mr. Gore had this beard. Everybody talked about he was scruffy, and they thought that he was, when he kept trying
to push. Yeah, he was very Bob Vila. He was.
Yeah, when he kept trying to push climate change, everybody thought he was a little off his rocker.
It was that Inconvenient Truth.
Right. Everybody thought he was off his rocker. Now we look at it. You know, we got Texas. We got Louisiana. We got Alabama. We got Oklahoma. Yep.
2006.
You know, you got all of those areas.
Made $50 million in box office, though.
And
off of $1.5 million.
And, I ain't mad at them. But think about this. With all this climate change, the weather, it's all affecting the ability for states and for those that want to receive the vaccine.
But they had problems with distributing vaccine before that, so that's nonsense.
No. But it's made it worse because, to your point on climate change, if they would have proactively done something years ago, there's a possibility, keyword possibility, that we, Texas and the Southern Belt down that area, would not be in the predicament that it is in right now.
I mean,
you can't predict the future. I can't predict the future. But there are things, scientifically, I'm going to use that new buzzword, scientifically, that could have been done, you know, and the scientists say, and the engineers say, that could have been done. You know, think about it. It's all part of what you always talk about is infrastructure. When you really think about it, the lack of infrastructure, the lack of understanding. You know, Texas has some of the smoothest roads in the world. But who would have thought that you would have been experiencing ice storms, snow, the havoc that was wreaked on the highways? Why? Because of the skyways. Except for Mr. Cruz, he was able to get out to Cancun.
Yeah.
But all of this because of global warming and climate change and lack of proactive, lack of folks sitting in these offices, whether they're the city, the municipalities, whether they're the states, whether they're the federal level, that don't know what their jobs are, and they are only there because of relationships with party leaders, or they owe somebody a favor.
Yeah, but it's ivory tower mentality, man. Like, that is really, man, cognitive dissonance, man. Like, I said a couple shows ago, like, cognitive dissonance is so dangerous. Mm. Like, it's extremely, extremely dangerous. And I'm probably going to stress this on next week's show again. Like, when you have people that are that far gone and that disconnected, you are in a world of trouble if they're supposed to be your, you know, your elected official, your politician, or whatever you want to call them. But they ain't leaders. And they've demonstrated that.
They
you know, the only thing they did right was ask Biden. That's the only thing I think they did right was ask Biden. And Biden actually responded, you know, you didn't have to be nice to him. Oh, yeah, we're going to touch on Santos, too, on the next show. You know, he's like, I'm not giving people vaccines if they're not nice to me. Like, what's wrong with these people? Like, well, what does it have to do with their job? Like, in politics, right, it's no permanent friends, no permanent enemies, just permanent interests, right? It doesn't matter. People like but you or not, do your
the
job.
The problem now is that the politics has become so self-centered. And folks have forgotten that when you elect, and I'm stressing, when you elect someone, they are supposed to represent you.
Yeah, they work for you.
You know, but that brings up another thing. Politics is not just in, you know, and I say this all the time, that we are coming up across the country and the city, we're coming up across elections, primary elections, and don't let someone go unopposed.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the biggest problems. And to you folks that want to jump up and down and say that it's wrong for people not to have a challenger, take a look in the mirror at yourself. All because you are in an organization, that is supposed to have elections, you should not be ordained to a position and automatically walk in. You should have had a challenger. On another hand, you should not, and this happens in black organizations all the time. We jump up and down. Journalists want to jump up and down. We want to talk all of this stuff. Those of you that are journalists, because I said I'm never a journalist. I'm here as a broadcaster. But when you want to talk about the way somebody else is elected and you do the same thing through an organization, you're no better than that person. And when I ask a question of another organization that the person is now a state rep about where the money is and where this goes and how the succession works and all that, I was told it was not the organization for me. But yet and still, they can represent people.
That's it. We're going to our first commercial break. COVID community challenges pre-COVID, during COVID, and after COVID part 3, Black History Month presenting history of inventors and scientists part 3. We'll be right back.
The Chicago Bulls answered all their critics last year, compiling the best regular season record in their history.
Though Jordan was noticeably absent when the Bulls visited the White House in 1991, Craig Hodges was determined to make an impression.
He couldn't help but notice when Craig Hodges showed up in that outfit. It was startling.
That was his religion. That was his belief. But I do know this. When you saw it on TV, he stood out.
I loved him because he was goofy and was definitely not afraid to express his blackness. And he could play. He had a 3.
The biggest part was once we got on the national stage, people's first question, why are you wearing this dashiki? I wanted it to be on the record that I came in a certain manner that was respectful, but also mindful of where I came from and where I want my people to be.
Craig used the opportunity to slip the president a letter.
Mr. President, the athletes from the Chicago Bulls number 12, 10 of whom are of the descendants of African slaves, I have taken on the responsibility to speak on behalf of those who are not able to be heard from where they are. We have a sector of our population that is being described as an endangered species, i.e. the young black man. The question must be asked, why is the condition of the inner cities around the country in a state of emergency because of wanton violence, lack of jobs, or drugs? It is very important that the citizens of this great nation make a determination of what side of history we will be on in this most critical hour.
Wow. Welcome back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Philadelphia. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our topic today is community challenges pre-COVID, during COVID, after COVID, part three. We already took care of that. Well, we're going to go into our Black History segment, presenting history of inventors and scientists. Pat, let's start with, you know, what we mentioned, the black doctors here in Philadelphia. And that's hats off to them for their ability to try to get African Americans in at-risk zip codes vaccinated, because again, the black population is the most that are dying. The people of color, let's put it that way, are dying, and some aren't even adhering to how that this pandemic is actually real. So to Miss Dr. Alana Stanton, hats off to you. But you know, as we talk about history, you know, there was a
folks. I got some more numbers for you. So out of 48 Philadelphia zip codes, right, 11 of them are like impoverished, right? 4 of them are in North Philly. But out of the 11, do you know that 90% of them, well, yeah, 90% of those places, most of those people are upstate road or in the state house, and we ain't talking about politics.
So
you know, I wonder how that translates to COVID.
You really haven't heard anybody talk about vaccinating those in confinement. Nope. But you know, before you know, doors were open long time ago for African Americans to become doctors, but they also had doors shut on them at the same time. And I'm actually going to read a letter. It was dated April 5th, 1959, from Emory University. And it went to Mr. Marion Gerald Hood in Griffin, Georgia. And it said, "Dear Mr. Hood, acknowledgement is made of your letter of July 30th enclosing your application for admission to our School of Medicine. I am sorry I write you that we are not authorized to consider admission for a member of the Negro race. I regret we cannot help you. Very truly yours, L.L. Gregg, Director of Admissions. P.S. I am returning here within your $5 application fee." 1959, Emory University. My mother applied to the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing.
Story. Yeah.
And the letters actually said that she was accepted.
But not this year.
But it said, "Unfortunately, we have reached our quota for Negroes for this year, mm-hmm. and you can reapply next year."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like, you know, that's like scratching a lotto ticket, man, and then finding out that it's like fake or something. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
But when we really look at it, most people don't realize that I'm an avid stamp collector and Black history, and I have today with me three books, Black Heritage Commemorative Society Collection, and in these books, there are write ups on various African Americans or Blacks or people of color, how Negroes, however you want to put it, that we don't hear about. You know, whether they're inventors, whether they're scientists, whether they're doctors, lawyers, judges, entrepreneurs, and most of the inventions that we utilize today were designed by someone of color.
Yeah, but before we get into that, I want to let people know that the patent office, right? Patent office didn't even recognize, and it's funny because there's no on the applications back then. I don't know about now because I don't have any patents, but there was no color placed on patents. But like the first, roughly the first patent that was given to a black inventor, a black American or African American inventor, whatever terminology you'd like to use, was sometime around 1845. But in the early 1900s, there was a gentleman by the name of Mr. Baker, and his name is Henry Baker. He worked at the patent office and was committed, right, was committed. He took it upon himself to make sure that African-Americans who had been awarded patents by the United States government would be unofficially documented. Why is that relevant? Because now people like, you know, if we go through the list, like Gary Morrison, who was responsible for the stoplight, Louis Latimer, who's actually responsible for the filament in the light, not Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison is a known thief and charlatan. You know, he's a great salesman. If you look at his, he's a great salesman. Oh,
isn't that what Elvis Presley did?
Oh, that's a whole other set of downs. You know, nobody's really gotten over Little. I mean, Little Richard never got over it until Michael Jackson actually purchased his masters and handed it to him. A lot of people don't know that story. Talking about Michael Jackson broke, yeah, whatever. I don't know what type of broke or who's broke, but not the broke. I don't think so. So, you know, just some of these small tidbits. But I guess since we got about 25 minutes, we can just gun off some inventors. I mean,
you know, I just want to, you know, we would talk about health and just throw a couple more, you know. Research chemist Robert H. Lawrence. Mm-hmm. He was the first black astronaut and a talented Air Force pilot and research chemist. Robert Lawrence was a research chemist and an Air Force flight instructor and test pilot who became the first African-American astronaut. His impressive career was cut short by early death, and the extent of his service was obscured until decades later. Basically, they said they forgot about this man's service. But he was a chemist. Percy Lavon Julian, trailblazing black chemist, improved the lives and health of millions. Percy Lavon was a grandson of slaves, became a world-renowned chemist and research scientist whose discoveries eased the pain and sufferings of millions by making affordable treatments for glaucoma, rheumatoid arthritis, and cancer.
Nice.
You heard what I said, and cancer, with graduate degrees from Harvard University and the University of Vienna. He triumphed over institutional and social presence to achieve unprecedented success in his field. And then Cesar, you know, just throwing something out there. This is for Pat. He's the father of modern pharmacy. He conveyed knowledge of African herbal remedies. Cesar was a successful practitioner of traditional African medicine in southern United States during the middle of the 18th century. In recognition of his accomplishments, the South Carolina legislature took the unprecedented step of freeing him from slavery and awarding him a substantial lifetime stipend for herbal medicine. Now, this was 1682.
Yeah. So why is that significant, though? So that what Randall said was extremely significant, because anybody that knows me, I'm more of a homeopathic, for what those that don't understand that word, it's natural, right? I believe that, you know, we came from the earth, so we should be eating, you know, drinking, sleeping, learning from the earth. And that's extremely important. You know, Western medicine has proven time and time again that it's not math, right? It's not exact. It's the practice of medicine, right? Not the math, right, or the science.
Medicine is, that's what it says. Yeah. Practice. The doctors are still practicing today.
Yeah. So I'm not holding that against them by any means, you guys. But I just wanted to be clearing that. But some other interesting inventors. This one's not so medical, but you know, I'm sure this has saved some of our lives. Sarah Boone improved the ironing board in 1892. She was born enslaved, one of the first black women in U.S. history to receive a patent. She explained upon the original ironing board, which is essential, by horizontal wooden block, originally patented in 1858. But with her additions, the ironing board featured a narrower, curvy design, making it easier for ironing garments, particularly women's clothing. Boone's design would morph into the modern ironing board, which we still use today.
You know, he's not an inventor, but, you know, I think this is interesting.
Oh, DuSable.
Jean-Paul DuSable.
Yeah, founder of Chicago.
Yeah, pioneer and entrepreneur. Chicago was founded, the city of Chicago was founded by a black man.
Yep, Haitian brother, yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that
was
one.
Known, he settled in the areas now known as Peoria and Chicago, Illinois. His foresight in perceiving the importance of the site of Chicago, now one of the largest cities in the United States, was matched by his uncommon affinity with the local Native American tribes. Together, these factors led the visionary entrepreneur to establish the most important center of commerce. Listen to me now. Establish the most important center of commerce, trade, and industry in central United States.
Mm-hmm.
He worked with the Indians of that land, of that area, to establish commerce and trade. You know, we always talk about entrepreneurs. This was he lived from 1745 to 1818.
You know. Now this is a good one. Women, please don't get offended, but I find this to be hilarious. So a black woman, Mary Van Britton Brown, created the home security system. I think it's hilarious but crazy at the same time. So basically, before they became official homes, she was a nurse, and she lived in Queens, where you know crime probably wasn't that good. Her husband was often away; she didn't feel safe in her neighborhood. So on top of that, the police were unreliable and unresponsive. So she created a device that would put her mind at ease. In 1966, she invented a system that was used a camera and that could slide into and look through peepholes, look through four peepholes at her front door. The cameras would then appear on a monitor in her home so she could survey and potentially any unwanted guests. So, you know.
So think about this. Yeah. So today we have the cameras in our home and our cell phones appear on our cell phones today. Mm-hmm. So that's all because of this woman that didn't feel safe in her home.
Doesn't sound like a far cry from some of the stuff going on today. But you ain't hear that from me, though.
So when you think about it, if you really want to go even further, GPS.
Well, yeah, you know, a black woman did that.
Yeah. these are the untold stories. You know, we can talk about all of the, you know, G. Carter Woodson. We could talk about Martin Luther King. You could talk about Garvey. We could talk about all of those folks day in and day out. But, you know, I have three books here.
Yeah, I want to give people a little something different than the regular. For example, Philip, I'm probably going to murder his name, Imogwalinali, I guess. He was still a scientist. I'm sorry. My apologies. He's still a scientist. And a lot of people don't know this. He created the world's fastest computer and had a hand in the internet. He was actually forced to drop out of school at age 14, but it didn't stop him from becoming one of the greatest computer pioneers.
But do you hear his name spoken in the same context with Bill Gates?
Hell no, but they call
Watch
him the
language.
They call him the Bill Gates of Africa, which is offensive to me. But anyway... As an adult, he began studying nature, specifically bees, the construction of the honeycomb, and inspired him to rethink computer processing. In 1989, he put his idea to work using 65,000 processes to invent the world's first massively parallel processing supercomputer, able to perform at 3.1 billion calculations per second. That same year, he received the Gordon Bell Prize for his application of the CM2 massively parallel computer.
So when you think about these computers.
Yeah. But Bill Gates actually stole the idea, so let's not even – I don't really give him credit either. But behind every great fortune is a great crime. I mean, look at him and the dude from Facebook, whatever his name is. You know, that's why he had to pay the twins. But, you know.
But see, these are the stories, you know, when you think about it, Pat, these are the stories that, you know, that you don't get. These are the stories, you know, that – back in the day, you know, folks used to have encyclopedias. Mm. There used to be, excuse me, a lot of this has gotten lost because there's no true media. Mm. Because you remember, you got to think about it. You had Jet, you had Ebony, you had Southern Christian, their magazine. You had powerhouses of over and over again newspapers that would tell the story. Now we have someone else telling the story, and for those few that are out there, they're being dictated to on how to tell the story.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
You know, because if you don't tell the story the way I want it told, then we pull your funding. So, do you have another break on your schedule?
Yeah, we do. this is fun, actually. This is really fun because it's positive. I know sometimes we could be so desolate and destitute. So,
Big words over three letters.
Today's show, you know, I could read a little bit. COVID community challenges pre-COVID, during COVID, after COVID, part three. Black History Month, presenting History of Inventors and Scientists, Part 3. We will be back shortly. Money, pop.
Money, pop. Fame, it don't mean nothing. Never feeling lots of shame, it don't mean nothing. Tell me what you came before you came to this earth. Tell me who you worship for that came with the church.
I don't want no artificial. I don't want no artificial. I don't need no artificial. Yeah. I don't want no
artificial ends. At the age to separate the homies from the friends. Hit the fan to show you blood from the kin. And my family always kept a tool by the lamb. Junkies getting started. It's a party 4 a.m. To grasshopper, but the family always looking up the hill. Put the city on my shoulders. Whoa, put my baby on my shoulders. Now it's Sandy Ben. I can't get a break from nothing. I'ma smoke a whole late, then mush my whole face inside some glue.
Still, I can't feel nothing.
You know I'm gonna hurt you for you know it, but you love me, you should go. Tell me what you want from me. Oh, you know I'm psychic. I don't like it when you try to hide the hoax. We ain't got in common. We ain't got any comment, tell me why the fuck you
want. I don't want no artificial. I don't flaunt no artificial. I don't need no artificial.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward, and that was the appropriate song. I don't want no artificial.
That's right.
We want the real.
Our topic today is, as I said, we're community challenges pre-COVID, during COVID, after COVID. We're now in our second segment, Black History Month, presenting History of Inventors and Scientists, Part 3. And what we're doing is talking about
the... We were talking about the cell phone before we went to break. So that's Henry Thomas Sampson Jr., who is a prolific inventor. And by the way, the metal for your cell phone comes from Africa. That's the only place that metal comes from. That's it. That's some Welcome to Wakanda stuff. born in Jackson, Mississippi in 1934. Man, I wonder what that looked like. Inventor, pioneer in the field of nuclear engineering. Sampson is also a pioneer in technology that is used in modern cell phones. But contrary to widely held belief, he didn't invent the entire cell phone, right? He was the eldest child of Henry T. Sampson Jr. Well, sorry, eldest child, yeah, of Esther, sorry, and Henry T. Sampson Jr. and he was the younger of his brother John. After graduating from Lanier High School in Jackson, Mississippi in 1951, Sampson attended Morehouse College. Shout out to them. They have produced some people I can't say in the last 10, 15 years, I don't know. But early in the early days, for sure. He later transferred to Purdue in Purdue University in Lafayette, Indiana, and earned a BS degree in chemical engineering. Sampson continued his studies and earned an MS degree in chemical engineering in 1961 in the University of California, Los Angeles, also known as UCLA. He continued with his graduate studies and pursued a doctoral degree in nuclear engineering from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign in 1967. He became the first African-American in the United States to earn a PhD in nuclear engineering. That's major.
Yeah, you know, when you think about it, these cats, man, you know, I'm going to say cats and young ladies,
yeah,
man, they really did some things that we don't hear about. You know, I'm looking here at Elijah McCoy, inventor, invented the automatic lubrication system for steam engines.
Yep.
Elijah McCoy was a successful mechanical engineer and inventor during the great period of innovation that took place before and after the beginning of the 20th century. He invented several significant devices related to the lubrication of steam engines for carriages, ships, and trains. So when you think about those trains that you're riding on, the ships, this man here,
yep,
he was the one that came up with the lubrication systems. You know, Robert Relox, he was a mechanical engineer. He developed the evaporation process that revolutionized the sugar industry. All of us sugar people, this guy, Norbert, I'm sorry, was a brilliant mechanical engineer whose inventions revolutionized the sugar industry. His innovations in the process of industrial evaporation continue to play an integral role in a number of fields, from the manufacturing of soap to the waste recycling system on the International Space Station.
Hmm. That's not the first time black folks have had to teach people how to wash their behind.
Wait a minute. You remember Morse? Think about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. The International Space Station. Mm-hmm. Now, he was born in 1806.
Yeah.
Lived in 1894. So his process
Still lived on. Yep. Dr. Shirley Jackson, an American... Psychiatrist who received a PhD from Massachusetts Institute of Technology in 1973. Ooh, that was a rough
MIT.
Time. MIT. Physicist. My apologies. She's a physicist. She went to MIT and was the first woman to earn her nuclear degree, a doctorate in nuclear physics at MIT. In addition to her lengthy list of academic achievements, she also had an impressive number of inventions under her belt. Her experiments with theoretical physics paved the way for numerous developments in the telecommunications space, including the touch-tone phone. I'm not surprised that a woman did that. The portable fax, caller ID, call waiting, and the fiber optic cable.
Wait, but do you know something, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
Back in... whatever year that was, when the Civic Center was on Civic Center Boulevard across from what used to be Philadelphia General Hospital, what you just read, they had on display at the home show.
Oh, wow.
The touch tone phone, the vision phone, and this was back maybe 50 some odd years ago. So, when you think about it, you start thinking about this, how folks play an important part in your everyday life today and still are playing it, but we don't hear about it.
Yep.
You know, Garrett Augustus Morgan, inventor, businessman, invented widely used gas masks, interesting, gas masks and traffic signals.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Augustus Morgan was a successful entrepreneur, an inventor of a wide range of products and devices, including the first practical gas mask and traffic signal featuring a design that that became standard throughout the United States. So every traffic light you see out there, this man made the standard.
Yep.
Though it has evolved, it was his idea.
Absolutely. We got Otis Boykin. Most notable contribution to science was the circuit improvements he made to pacemakers, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm in great debt to him because, you know, my father has a pacemaker in his chest. After losing his mother to heart failure, a contribution that has saved countless lives since. But this single improvement was among a long list of achievements. Boykins had 26 patents in his name and is framed for the development of the IBM computer, burglar-proof cash register, chemical air filters, and electric resistor used in common in controlled missiles and other devices.
And you know, before, here's another one. Mary E. Hill, discoveries enable new materials and plastics. And Mary Hill was a successful and influential chemist who worked at the cutting edge of research in the years after World War II, collaborating closely with her husband, Carl McClellan Hill. She made several important innovations while teaching science at historically black colleges in Virginia and North Carolina and Kentucky. Pat, I read that one because I read something that was very disturbing recently about schools that were good schools for partying, but the degree wasn't worth too much. And on that list was several HBCU schools. You know, we can go into it another time, but I can run them off with Bennett, Payne, St. Augustine, Voorhees, Clafton.
Bethune-Cookman.
No, Cookman's not on the list.
It's not on the list?
No,
oh, wow.
It's not on the list. Miles.
Okay. Was A&M on there?
No.
Okay.
But we can go through the list. What's interesting, majority of these schools are tied to some form of institutional religion. So
I'm not touching that. I don't want to piss nobody off.
I will talk about that next week.
Okay. You know, because I don't want to piss nobody off. Make a show on that.
I'm going to bring all of those schools' names down, and I'm affiliate. I know several of those schools.
We got to bring back Dr. Truth for
Shaw
that.
Shaw is on there.
Yeah, Shaw is like outside of like the D.C.
Bennett.
Not too surprised.
So with that said, we're getting, I don't know what clock he's looking at today, but.
3 minutes. Well, I got one more. This one, because this is a personal favorite. Lonnie G. Johnson. You guys remember the Super Soaker?
We got one in storage. Remember I said I'm not giving
that
up to the kids.
Yeah, you definitely did. You did snatch
I said, I'm not giving it up.
Like, yeah, somebody getting hit this summer, you know, if we make it. But he was actually an aerospace engineer for NASA with a resume boasting with a stint with the U.S. Air Force, worked on the Galileo, Jupiter probe, and
it.
Mars.
We haven't even talked about Katherine Johnson and the figures and the mathematicians. All of these contributions. And, you know, these folks, these women that you mentioned, you know.
And I was just playing, ladies. Don't get mad at me. But
at the end
of the day.
The
phone, GPS, and security cameras.
These women should be in the forefront of our young women that want to do STEM.
No, there should be a picture of all these people in every public school.
That's right.
That when people
STEM,
look like us, period.
At STEM, especially if you want to promote STEM, then you have to show people that there were folks. There were folks that looked like them that were in the forefront of this. And our young people need to see this.
Well, our show's coming to an end. I wanted to be sure to acknowledge some folks. You know, we have lost some libraries in recent weeks. Reginald Reggie Wilkes, who passed on the 6th. Sister Ernestine Payne. Who passed late January. I'm sorry I didn't get to her sooner. So, you know, Kim and Reg, you know you guys have my support. And however I can...
We forgot, you know, I think we missed Paul Earthquake Moore.
Paul Earthquake Moore,
yeah. That was last month.
Julia Eloise Bright. And my friend Shelly, she just lost her daughter, Latasha Thomas. So our sincerest condolences.
With that said, you know, we're going to have to say, listeners, to see more of our show and social media on Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/ToneTenor to find our page. Please look out for us as we serve the communities in the surrounding greater Philadelphia and Norristown area. We want to thank our studio engineer today, Mr. Mike Vito. Thank you, Mike.
Mike Vito.
I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edouard. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voice of the People radio show here on WWB Talk Radio out of Philadelphia.
WWDB, not WWDV.
I said DV? DV, sorry. Tongue twister. Say it two times fast. We will see you guys next week for... not a conclusion. I think we're going to go two more weeks on Black History.
That's right, because Black History should be all year, not just
It is American History.
28 days.
Yeah.
Because we made contributions.
Absolutely.
We want black power. We want black power. We want black power. That's right. That's what we want. Black power. We don't have to be ashamed of it.
This is not the regular, this is that boom, blah, blah, blah. Some they call it secular, I just call it black, black, black. Marcus Garvey, Book Mandati, bring that army, black, black, black. Malcolm X and Kwame Ture, this is where I'm at. If you wanna talk to me about black, black, black. Haile Selassie the first, Negus Nagas, let's talk.